This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in Islam. I welcome the students of the Al-Kawthar Mobile Ilm, the ones studying the book 33 Lessons for Every Single Muslim. حياكم الله. In this audio, بإذن الله تعالى, we will cover lessons 8 to 11. But before that, a quick bit of revision and some of the questions forwarded to us. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In lesson number 4, we discussed the pillars of Al-Iman, belief in Allah, the angels, the revealed books, every single one of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of rising, the day of resurrection, and finally the matter of Qadr. Somebody had sent forward a question and they asked, what about the pillar of Iman dealing with every good and every evil? This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where does that filter in? We say that that filters in and is within the discussion of the Qadr, the predestination. Whatever is to be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed. As for myself and yourself, then we have the choice when it comes to whatever we want to do. Thus, we are accountable for our actions. The brother also asks, what about the life after death? That we say that's contained within the statement of the author, the day of resurrection, the day of rising, ba'ath ba'd al-maut, our rising after our death. We had another question and somebody asks, what is this wujub ittiba' of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the obligation of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, he is the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not speak out of his own doing, rather he speaks of revelation. We do as he said, we do as he did, and that's the following of the sunnah, of the manner, the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We had also discussed the fruits and the benefits of these pillars of Al-Iman. The Muslim, the one who has faith in these pillars, he has reliance on Allah, he has firmness, he has resolve, he's got purpose in his life, ability to overcome challenges. He realizes that I come from a deep, long tradition, prophets even before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have a direct link with my creator, Allahu Akbar, and I'm in my salah, and I'm in conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even outside of the prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closer to me than my own jugular vein. The angels are around me, my commission of the sin and stealing and all of these, the angels are around me. Even the fact that I might not be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's the angels on my right, angels on my left, recording every single one of my actions. Am I not conscious of them? The true Muslim is conscious of them, and thus he avoids sinning those sins. And finally, the day of resurrection, that the oppressed and the oppressor will come together, and the oppressed will have his say, and he'll have his day. Walhamdulillah. We also had gone through the divisions of Tawheed, the classification according to many a scholar, Tawheed of Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this even the pagans acknowledged. Who created you? Allah. Who sends down the rain? Allah. Who gives life? Allah. But their problem, their issue was singling out Allah in worship. We touched upon the oneness of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Tawheed Uluhiyya, and then the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also touched upon the story of Samantha and the story of Brother Ahmed, walhamdulillah, their background and how they had come back to Al-Islam. We had touched upon the matter of shirk, major shirk and minor shirk. Major shirk is that sin which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never ever forgive. Somebody asks, give me an example of minor shirk. We had discussed this, the matter of riya, the matter of showing off. Outwardly your prayer, it's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in reality, your intention is to show this brother so that You know, he has a good opinion of you because you've proposed to his daughter. Or for example, you are giving this charity outwardly, mashallah, you are doing a fantastic deed. But you have the intention of showing off to the people. And so this is disguised. People do not know, but rather this is between you and your nafs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. No doubt about that. There was also a question with regards to the conditions of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, to accept, to submit to it, to believe in it, to be truthful to that statement. Somebody asks, what if the individual doesn't really know about these seven conditions? What if, for example, the individual never heard about this? Does it mean that they are not Muslim? No, they are 100% Muslim. In fact, most Muslims on the face of this earth probably have not gone through it theoretically as seven conditions. And we will vary in our levels of iman. The one who has committed sin, one might say to him, subhanallah, you are not living up truly to these words, La ilaha illallah. Yes, but he's insan and he's fallen into error. And iman increases and decreases. Our faith, we have times when mashallah, you're in front of the Kaaba, mashallah, you just pray two rakahs of salah, and you feel that closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel that your iman's increased. You listened to something, you recited some verses of the noble Quran, you saw some of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your iman increased. And there's other times things are tough for you. Or for example, you are so deep in ghafla, you're so deep in disobedience and sin, and so your iman is at a low. And we have these ups and downs, brothers and sisters. Take note, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, O male and female servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two important, or maybe rather three important books on the topic of Tawheed and the topic of the fundamentals of Tawheed. The first one being Fundamentals of Tawheed by Sheikh Abu Amina Bilal Phillips. I repeat, Fundamentals of Tawheed by Abu Amina Bilal Phillips. The second, the audio explanation by Sheikh Yasir Qadi of Kitab At-Tawheed. Audio explanation of Sheikh Yasir Qadi of Kitab At-Tawheed. And the last one, the grandson of Shah Waliullah Dehlawi, great scholar of the Indian subcontinent, Shah Ismail Shaheed. Shah Ismail Shaheed has this book, Taqwiyatul Iman. Taqwiyatul Iman. And all three mentioned are available in the English language. Walhamdulillah. Important works with regards to the matters of Tawheed and the opposite of Tawheed, the matters of Shirk. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to lessons 8 to 11. Quick summary bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Lesson 8, the author covers the matters of ruqya, talisman, carrying and wearing amulets. Understand fully, brothers and sisters, when it comes to these charms, omens, talismans, amulets, these objects cannot avert any good from coming to you. They cannot avert any harm from coming to you. They cannot protect you. Attributing these qualities to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be a form of shirk. This rabbit's foot, it's going to bring me some sort of good luck. This horseshoe is going to protect me, as is found in Greek mythology. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he saw a man with one of these like protection bracelets, and he broke it off. He broke it from the man's hand. We find Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he found that his wife, she had this like thread or cord around her neck. And he asked her, what's this about? And she says, no, this is like some sort of spell done over it. It will help me with my eyes. I have some twitching in my eye, and this would assist me, will help me. He broke it off. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud broke it off. Hadith reported by Imam Abu Dawud. Why? Because you are now attributing the supernatural benefit to this twig, to this talisman, to this amulet, to this chain, to this shellfish. Allah musta'an. You find, for example, common with many, the rabbit's foot, the horseshoe, good luck charms, example, omens, the flying direction of certain birds, So for example, they say that what will we do? Will we go A or will we go B? So they take this bird and they throw it in the air. If it flies right, then we go ahead. If it moves left, then we will not go ahead. Subhanallah. Others knocking on wood. If there's any spilling of salt, then this is a sign of misfortune. Breaking of the mirror, famous with many. The number 13, subhanallah. Up till today, many apartment buildings, you find that there's no 13th floor. Many planes, there's no 13th row. Allah musta'an. Friday the 13th, subhanallah. As some of them had stated that in the final supper of Isa alayhi salam, as per their understanding, there were 13 individuals there, and one of them being Judas. And they would also state that on Fridays, according to them, the witches have their meetings. And so this is the origin of that matter. Friday the 13th, very, very evil day. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, as for us, absolutely nothing about all of this, subhanallah. None of these bad omens or these talismans or anything like that. In fact, if we want to add on the matter of fortune telling, astrology, horoscopes, black magic, fortune telling, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that the one who goes to this fortune teller, then his salah is not accepted for 40 days. Astrology, the idea that these planets, etc., they affect your life and they have an effect on future events. Horoscopes, so you have the sister, every month she goes through the horoscopes. This is going to happen next month. No, we cannot get married this month. No, I cannot travel this month. Subhanallah. Where did you get this from? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Black magic. Individuals dabbling in black magic. Sihr. So they go to this black magician. They are desperate. The child's ill. Or for example, the female cannot fall pregnant. Or for example, things just not working out. So they go to the black magician and they dabble in all of the sihr. Or they want harm to be performed upon other individuals and they seek the assistance of the sahir. Who seeks the assistance of the jinn and the shayateen and the devils? Allahu musta'an. Our Rasul Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, whoever approaches an oracle or a fortune teller and believes in what they say, he's disbelieved in what has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hadith in Abu Dawood. You also find that the legal penalty for the one who dabbles in black magic is capital punishment, subhanallah. It's not a light matter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our tawheed. So we say to Samantha and we say to Brother Ahmed, as for all of these matters, talisman and black magic and omens and all of these things, stay away from them completely. And unfortunately today, in the media industry, Hollywood, Bollywood, etc., you'd find many instances of all of this. So this is the wise old man, etc. He's got this big beard and this long stick, and so he foretells the future. This is what's going to happen. He throws a few shells and such is going to occur. Looks into this marble stone and such is going to happen. As for the Muslim upon Tawheed, absolutely nothing of that. What's gonna come cannot miss me. Whatever's not meant for me will never touch me, subhanallah. In reality, brothers and sisters, you find some individuals, Muslim, non-Muslim, their lives are a complete mess. From morning till evening, he's got this for black magic. He's got this here for good luck. He cannot do this. I cannot go here. I cannot do this on that date. I need to check up with my horoscope, subhanallah. Your life has been overtaken by these items. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever ties all of these matters, eventually he will become dependent upon all of that. And these people's lives revolve around those things. As for the Muslim, he has got unity of purpose. Tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one I answer to. The author moves on, lesson number 9. Whoever seeks blessing, etc., through a tree, through a stone. Similar matters we touched upon, walhamdulillah. Lesson number 10, slaughtering to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also mentions the statements of Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that curse be upon the one who curses his parents. You might curse your parents, how? Why would I ever curse my parents? Some sahaba had asked. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't you see that you curse the parents of somebody else and then he begins to curse your parents? You were the one who initiated this, Allahu musta'an. And you do have people who have reached a level of disrespect that they actually curse their own parents, Allah musta'an. Brothers and sisters, slaughtering to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who gave life to this animal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who gave life to it? Allah. So its life can only be taken when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned over it. You are about to slaughter that sheep in the name of Allah. Bismillah, and you slaughter the animal. As for slaughtering in the name of some sort of jinn or the name of some pious individual or something like that, absolutely haram. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي Say my salah, my slaughter. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي My living and my dying, لِلَّهِ is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author also touches upon the matter in this chapter, the matter of innovation, the matter of innovation, inventing in the deen of al-Islam. Samantha, if you look around, you would find that in Christianity, Hinduism, Judaism, whatever other religions out there, you find that there's the original scripture. And as for the practice of the people today, it varies greatly from the original scripture. They have moved far off from the original teachings of that prophet. Why? One reason would be that they invented and they came up with, we think this would be a good thing, times have changed, let's adapt, let's change this, let's add that, let's subtract that, this is not really applicable today, and they played around with the deen. This is absolutely haram, subhanallah. We are talking about the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it was up to myself and yourself, we'd change things around. We'd say maybe Salatul Fajr, it's too early in winter, it's so cold, subhanallah. Let's pray a bit later. Also, people need to go to work in the morning. Two rak'ahs are a bit too much. Make it one rak'ah. Oh, Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Isha, I get tired sometimes. Let's join both of them every day at the time of Salatul Maghrib. Hajj, too many people, subhanallah. In each region, each continent, we should have an area where people can make hajj there. Subhanallah, what's going to happen to the deen? It's going to be completely changed. And in fact, the one who invents, he is trying to say that the deen is not perfect. You know, I think it needs a bit of change here and there. What he's trying to say is that the deen's not perfect. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not completed his mission. Side note, brothers and sisters, in the matters of fiqh, in the matters of jurisprudence, yes, there you have items which change from place to time. For example, during the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, due to the severe drought, he put on hold the matter of implementing the penalty for stealing. Why? Because maybe people had stolen due to the fact that they need to satisfy their hunger. And we don't know, etc. Put a hold on that matter. These ahkam, they can change from time to time. As for just adding and subtracting willy-nilly, etc. Absolutely, absolutely haram. Absolutely prohibited. Lesson number 11, the author discusses the matters pertaining to vowing and the matter of oaths, vows and oaths. For example, somebody swearing an oath, I swear by my own life, I swear by my wife, I swear by the grave of my parents, I swear by Jesus Christ, I swear by such and such. Why are you swearing by these items? Why are you not swearing by the ants? Why are you not swearing by the dog which is outside? You are swearing by your life, your wife, your grave, the grave of your parents, because you revere these items. Because these objects to you are azim. They are revered. So you're trying to say to the brother that, I'm not lying to you. I'm being truthful to you. And to prove that I'm being truthful, I'm willing to put my oath and take this oath by the grave of my parents. This is absolutely haram. You want to swear, you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, tallahi, billahi. These are the oaths. Wallahi, such and such. Swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take your oaths by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because He is the one to be revered. Not the grave of your parents, not your own life. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to state that, I swear by the one who has given me life. I swear by the one in whose hands is my life. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With regards to vows, some might say, if such and such occurs, or if I get well from this illness, if I pass my examination, I will honor the grave of a certain saint. I will make a pilgrimage to the grave of the saint, and I will do such and such there. Or if I pass my examination, then I will spend on this blessed tree. I will build a statue of such and such deity or god. I will make an offering to such and such a saint or wali or whatever it might be. Absolutely haram, brothers and sisters. In fact, if you are making a vow for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even there's an element of makruh, there's an element of dislike. Example, somebody says that if I pass my examination, I'm going to fast 3 days for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, brother, if you said this, you have to fulfill it. But it's not good to involve yourself in vows. Somebody states, if for example, the female says, if I give birth to a kid, then I'm going to make an umrah. He says, sister, best if you don't make these vows. But if you've done so, you have to fulfill it. Well, why are we saying it's disliked? We say because the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that these vows do not come with any sort of like good. It's like rather taking out from the miser. Why would you not just make the umrah on its own? Why would you not just fast 3 days? Why would you not just give charity? You want to barter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah sees you right, then you will do such and such. And if you do not pass the examination, you will not do the fasting. Best to avoid that. But if you said it, then you have to fulfill it if it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for those other type of vows, to honor the grave of so and so, to slaughter an animal for such and such a jinn, etc., all of that completely haram. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, with that we come to the end of this summary of lessons 8, 9, 10 and 11. Walhamdulillah. بإذن الله تعالى lessons 12, 13, 14 and 15 and also number 16 بإذن الله تعالى also touch upon the matters of Tawheed, and then the author moves on to the matters pertaining to fiqh, to the matters pertaining to your tahara, your salah, your zakah, your siyam, etc. Walhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting, our learning, our studying in our scales of good deeds. May Allah remove from us ignorance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the pure muwahideen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in the company of the Anbiya, the Salihin, the pious and the righteous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to live righteous lives and die upon iman, die upon faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease the suffering of our brothers and sisters wherever they are upon the globe. In fact, ease the suffering of humanity at large. حياكم الله هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته